You are looking live at Chicken Dinner.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
I think I'll take two chickens.
Go on riverboat gambling trips.
You're going to die for some chickens.
Hey, what's your chicken dinner?
Someone is.
It was feathers yesterday. There was no chicken.
What you got riding on this game?
My daughter.
What a gambler.
It's Chicken Dinner.
Hey, Babalugas, we got a bet here.
Here's your host, Sam Panionovich.
It's called Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner right there, boys.
Let's get this thing going.
Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. How about that?
Away we go. Chicken Dinner Thursday, May 6th, 2021. Follow us on Twitter at ChickenXDinner, Instagram at ChickenDinnerSP, and smash the button so you get this mother clucker once it goes live. We will talk all things betting with Lauren Jaffe. She's one of the wildest wild cards that I have ever met. She loves to live bet. She loves to fire on baseball. And she's got a lot of funny stories over the years. Also, what is it like to be a female that handicaps and bets on sports? Because you deal with a lot of the Twitter piranhas, as I call them. A lot of people at the bottom of the barrel, at the bottom of the tank, waiting for you to slip up. How do you handle that as a female who bets on sports? Lots of football, though, to talk about today. And I want to start with the tweet that we sent out at ChickenXDinner. I had a long conversation with my friend Mo Pearson, who is one of the best college football odds makers in the country. And he's very good at the FCS subset, not FBS, FCS. So he's been all over the line making for the teams that aren't the power teams, if you follow. He sent me a note last night and goes, hey, we need to talk. So we spent about 10 minutes on the phone, and he is selling me on James Madison to win on Saturday as a one-point favorite against Sam Houston State, but also to win the whole enchilada. They'd face the winner of Delaware, South Dakota State in the championship. Mo likes the Dukes minus one, and he likes them to win it all plus 280. Just trust me, this guy never calls me and never says, hey, bet this. He's not that guy. He does it from a calm and collected space, but he's also calculated. He doesn't just fire bullets. So I am invested now in James Madison. Laid the one against Sam Houston State. That'll be on Saturday. And then also on a future bet, plus 280 to win the whole thing. I'm writing a story for Fox tomorrow. It's really interesting because power ratings are the craze. Everybody talks about their numbers and their ratings and how much better is Team A than Team B. Well, I spoke with Kenny White, legendary Vegas odds maker, and he gave me his top teams in the NFL for every season from 2010 to 2020. For example, in 2010, the Patriots, 107, the Packers, 106. So he had the Patriots as the highest-rated team that year. They didn't win the Super Bowl, though. In 2013, I think one of the best teams I've ever seen, the Seattle Seahawks. That defense was loaded. They won the Super Bowl that year. Kenny had Seattle, 106.5. He had the Broncos, 105. So when Denver became a 2.5 or a 3-point favorite in the Super Bowl, Kenny used his numbers, and he made a lot of money that year. The numbers don't always help, though, because looking back at the last three teams, actually last four teams that Kenny White had as his highest-rated team, 2020 Chiefs, they lost in the Super Bowl. 2019 Ravens, they lost to the Titans early in the playoffs. 2018 Rams, lost in the Super Bowl. 2017 Patriots, they lost in the Super Bowl. Numbers can only do so much, especially in the NFL when it's a one-off. One interception, one fumble, one play. The game can swing. In the NBA, MLB, even hockey, cream rises usually in a seven-game series. One game, NFL, anything goes. But I think it's interesting to look back at the last 10 years of the NFL and see which teams took care of business and which teams didn't. Kenny did tell me that the 2020 Chiefs were 110.5 at full strength, but when the tackles were both out in the Super Bowl, he had downgraded them 3 points accordingly. So Kenny actually had the Bucs as a slight favorite over the Chiefs with the injuries. And, of course, Tampa Bay just ate them for lunch and dinner on the line. I also spoke to Ed Sammons for this story, who said, more than any other sport, it's about perception in the NFL and what teams are perceived to be. But, of course, there's a difference between perception and reality. And Ed has numbers, but Ed will shape his numbers and shift his numbers accordingly. If his numbers say 6, but he knows he'll write nothing but dog money on plus 6, he might open 5, or maybe he opens 4.5. There's a difference between the odds maker and the bookmaker. Kenny is an odds maker. He has ratings on every player on every team, and he upgrades teams left and right, up and down all season long. But Kenny's not taking bets. So he takes that number, Ed does, and he shapes it and shifts it to where it needs to be. Ed told me that the 2007 New England Patriots were the highest rated team he's ever had. Obviously, Ed's numbers and Kenny's numbers are probably different. But that 07 Patriot team, good Lord, they were covering every week to start the season. They were a damn fire hose. All they did was win and cover. That's all they did. And the books had to make these numbers so much higher because the Patriots kept covering and the bettors kept firing. The 07 Patriots started that season against the Jets. They were a 6-point favorite. They won 38-14. 3.5-point favorite against San Diego, won by 24. 16.5-point favorite against Buffalo, 38-7 win. 8-point favorite against Cincinnati on the road, 34-13. 15.5-point favorite against Cleveland, 34-17. 4.5-point favorite at Dallas, 48-27. 15.5-point favorite at Miami, 49-28. 15-point favorite against Washington at home, 52-7. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight covers to begin the year for the 07 Patriots. Well, then the spread just got ridiculous. 23.5 against Philadelphia, 19.5 at Baltimore, 11 against Pittsburgh, 20 against the Jets, 22.5 against the Dolphins. Well, last few games, guess what? All red L's. The Patriots that year didn't cover their last 6 games, and they failed to cover in 8 of their last 9, including the playoffs and including that loss to the Giants as a 12.5-point favorite. That number, I believe, opened 14, and then some money came in, respected money came in on the G-men, plus 14, 13.5, 13. There was some money line money in there as well. But that's what happens with the ratings. The ratings have to go up, but the perception also went up. So you can't just go by these ratings. I thought it was a fascinating conversation, though, to talk to an odds maker and then a bookmaker. But the last 5 years, 2020, Chiefs were the highest. They didn't win. 19, Ravens, they didn't win. 18, Rams, they didn't win. 17, Patriots, they didn't win. 16, Patriots, okay, they did. Kenny had the Patriots in 16 at 106. Had the Cowboys at 104.5. Had the Falcons at 104. That was the year Atlanta went up 28-3, and Kyle Shanahan blew it. But it's cool to have these conversations built around the numbers. Speaking of the numbers, there's a quarterback in the NFL that I like right now to win the MVP, although I've been told by a couple of bookmaking buddies I may want to wait and see what happens with this whole Aaron Rodgers thing. I'm high on the Chargers roster. I'm high on their skill position players. I absolutely love the weapons that Justin Herbert has. And he came onto the scene last year gangbusters. 4,300 yards, 31 touchdowns, only 10 picks. And he'll be more protected this year. They took Rashawn Slater in the first round. He'll be a left tackle for a decade. Brian Bulaga will be on the right side of the line. You build from the outside in. And I love Corey Linsley a lot, their center. So they are good on the offensive line, and now it's about the weapons. Protection, good. Weapons, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, you've got Jared Cook at tight end, they drafted Josh Palmer, Burner in the slot, and then Austin Eckler, Justin Jackson. They've got personnel for this guy to make plays, put up points, and pick up touchdowns. I like the Chargers a lot. And I think a lot of it is predicated on the success of Justin Herbert. You could find him now if you shop around at 30-1 to win the MVP right now. Rodgers and the uncertainty there sort of hangs in the balance. And Alan Berg from WinBet was telling me, well, If Rodgers goes to Denver, which a lot of people are sort of intimating at this point in time, Bergie thinks that Herbert could go from 30-1 up to 40-1 because now he's got to play Mahomes twice and Rodgers twice. My counter to that was, that's an easier opportunity to put up numbers, national television, against a Hall of Fame quarterback. So it could work both ways. He'd have to split. He'd have to go 2-2 in those games if he wants to win the MVP. Not that that's, you know, paramount in his season. I'm sure he'd much rather get to the playoffs and make a deep run. But that offense is coming to fruition for Justin Herbert. It's a great situation. Rookie quarterbacks have to come into good situations. Justin Herbert came into a great one last year. I don't know that Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence are in great situations. I think the Trey Lance situation is the best of all with the weapons they have and the line that they have in play. George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, a really good line. I like what he's got more than I like in Jacksonville. And this Trevor Lawrence prop, 4,200 passing yards. Come on. I know they get the extra game, but Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, those guys didn't throw for 4,200 yards in their first full season. And Jacksonville, I don't like their room. I don't like their skill position players. Who's going to be the big receiver for them? DJ Chark? I don't see it there. Lawrence is an incredible talent, but it's not like the team is built to win now. San Francisco got shredded by injuries last year. But that team, 2 years ago, was in the Super Bowl. Last year, decimated. All the injuries. Kittle, Bosa, Jimmy G, you name it. Everybody got hurt. But I think the quarterback and the system they're in and the talent around them is massive. And I like what Justin Herbert has to offer. I also like the Chargers over 9 wins flat, minus 110. So I will be invested on Justin Herbert to win the NFL MVP. There are some player props popping around the world right now. I mentioned the Lawrence under. It's actually gone down a bit, 41.75. So it's come down from 42.5. Him throwing for that many yards while also saving the city of Jacksonville and their football team is a lot to ask in year number one. Even with the extra game, that's a lot of yards. Manning's first year, 37-39. Rodgers' first year, 40-38. Jacksonville also never ran the ball last year. They were awful. They never ran it, and they didn't run it well. Urban Meyer is going to try and change that because he knows he needs to keep his offense on the field and his defense well rested. He can't be dropping Trevor Lawrence back three and out, three and out, three and out. His team's going to get murdered. They need to find balance there. And the thing is, Lawrence can have a monster year. He could throw for 35, 38, 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, but the bet is 41.75. So I like the under on Trevor Lawrence passing yards. I'm bullish on Jalen Waddle. His receiving number this year for yardage, 730.5, which when you compare him to Jamar Chase, the number feels like it's way too low. Chase's number is over 1,000 on the over-under for yards. Waddle, 730.5. So he needs 731. He's my favorite receiver in this class because of the versatility. He can line up anywhere on the field, and there really isn't a route that he can't run. And we know that speed kills. It would be in the best interest for everybody involved in Miami to get the ball in Waddle's hands, get the fuck out of the way, and let him do his thing. Make a man miss, boom. He's also a guy that's going to be a threat on the deep ball. He's elusive. He's shifty. He's quick to cut. And he will be a threat for those 30, 40-yard pops. You're telling me in 17 games, we're playing 17 now, remember. You're telling me he can't get to 730 yards, 731 yards? I thought this number was at least 50 to 100 yards short. I would have made this number 845.5. I was surprised at how low that was. So I like the Waddle over. I also like the Kyle Pitts over. And this is not because I'm riding the Kyle Pitts wave, well, maybe a little bit. He's going to be a weapon in the red zone. Waddle, I'm not so sure about how many touchdowns Waddle's going to catch, because Waddle, when you get inside the 20, all of a sudden his targets are going to go down. He's not going to get many jump balls. Maybe they do some wide receiver reverses, but I just don't think he's as big of a threat inside the 20, inside the 10, where Kyle Pitts will be a matchup nightmare inside the red zone. 6'6", 250, too fast for the linebackers, too big for the safeties. You also can't double him because you have Julio and Calvin Ridley there. 7.5 over on Kyle Pitts' touchdowns. I like that a lot. And the last prop that I saw, and this is more of a flyer, Micah Parsons to win the Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he can be as impactful as Chase Young was last year for the football team. Parsons was the first of many defensive picks by Stephen Jones and Big D. He's the betting favorite too, but it's not plus 180 or 2-1. It's plus 450 at FoxBet, 10 to win 45, 100 to win 450. He was projected, remember, he was projected to be a top five pick before the pandemic. He opted out of his last year at Penn State. He's going to start at middle linebacker for one of the most important brands in the NFL. And he'll be all over the field. He could drop back in coverage. He can hit the line. He's going to get a ton of love, especially if Dallas improves the way I think they can. He'll be the centerfold of that team on the rise. I like Parsons plus 450. Had an interesting conversation with Dave Sherapin, friend of the show, Cash Consideration Show. He calls me up the other day and says, Sammy, we got to talk about the Lakers. I go, okay, what do you got? He says, I'm ready to make a huge bet on the no that they won't win the title. I said, ooh, okay, I'm interested because, see, I am programmed over the last decade when LeBron complains and bitches and moans and whines, he usually gets to the finals. Now, LeBron doesn't always win in the finals. We know that. We know the record in the finals. But usually the league goes out of their way to help LeBron because the league is at its best when their best players and most popular players are in the playoffs and make deep runs. LeBron's never lost in the first round. So I'm already advancing him past whoever they play in the first round. But Dave says, look, Circa's got minus 650 on the no, and I can find lower options if I shop around the world. And Dave's thinking about betting, you know, five figures substantially. I don't know if it's, you know, 40 to win 10. I don't know if it's 50 to win 10. I don't know what it is. But I said, well, wait a minute, Dave. I said, I think it'd be better if you just let LeBron get through that first series and likely the second series, and then you load up on the team as an underdog against the Lakers. So if it's the Lakers and the Jazz in the third round of the playoffs, Lakers are going to be favored, probably minus 185. Not even that sounds low to say it out loud. Lakers minus two, $2. So then you could take Utah at plus 170. And if that doesn't happen, you can roll it forward to the next round. Obviously, there's nothing tangible here and the bracket isn't set yet, but Dave is just getting the ball rolling in his brain about what he's going to do. His first thought was to take the Lakers, just blanket every other team in the league. The book gets the Lakers, Dave gets everybody else. But you know and I know there are probably only two teams in the West that could take him down. And I guess the Nets or the Sixers in the East. I'm not big on the Bucks. But rather than lay minus $6 or minus $650 to win one, I'm thinking you would, if you're looking to fade the Lakers, you would bet against them at a certain point forward, but you would turn that minus into a plus. Because Jeff Sherman from the Westgate told me that the Lakers are going to be favored in every series, assuming LeBron and AD are healthy. Well, healthy is maybe hard to quantify at this point, but if they're on the floor and they're breathing, the Lakers are probably the betting favorite. So I would wait. Let them get through the first round or two and then see which team they get deep in the Western Conference playoffs and put the money on that team as a dog, whether it's Utah or the Clippers or whatever. That's how I would properly fade LeBron. I'm not laying six, 650, even if it's five, 550. I'm not interested. I'm just not. And the last thing, we talk about this all the time when we get close to football season, and I ask a lot of my guests this question. It's one of my favorite questions to ask. I always start with the $100 bill. If I gave you $100, who do you want in the NFL? And my answer for the last 2 years has been Kansas City. Oh, here we go. The nerd with the glasses is picking the Chiefs again. Yes, but if you think about the way this could play out, the Chiefs right now, you can find plus 550 to win the Super Bowl. So that $100 makes you 550, collect 650. If they get to the AFC title game, boys and girls, they're going to be favored. Even if the game is in Buffalo, you can't make Buffalo the favorite. You can't. I don't think, at least. Maybe Buffalo's minus one and a half. But then you could hedge. If you have 550 in your pocket, then you could bet on the Bills. You could bet a couple $100 on them and go from there. But the perfect situation for this bet is the Chiefs go to the AFC title game like they're prone to do with Mahomes, and then you take the dog plus the points. Kansas City's at home. They're taking on, I don't know, Baltimore or Buffalo or the Chargers. If that game is at Arrowhead, you're talking about Kansas City -6, -6.5. I don't know that we're higher than 7, although stranger things have happened. But then you have that Chief future at plus 550, and then you could take the dog with the points, and then you can't lose. You could win both. I mean, I had the Chief future last year. 2 years ago it won because they beat the 49ers. Last year, I rolled it all the way to the championship in the Super Bowl. And I had KC -3, and I just said, you know what? I'm going to ride it. I have a three-point favorite at plus 550 to win the game. I'm just going to take it. Looking back, probably should have sprinkled a little bit on the Buccaneers money line, but it is what it is. The proper pre-flop bet is everything if it's done right. And I still think Kansas City plus 550 is the bet to make. Before the playoffs last year, they were plus 175 to win the Super Bowl. If they get in and they're healthy and they're a top two seed, 550 ain't even going to be close to possible. So you're grabbing the number early, maybe often. I like that a lot. Plus 550. Joining us again on Chicken Dinner. I say again because I think this is the fifth time. So you get that red Chicken Dinner sport coat when you make it to 5, I guess. Lauren Jaffe, Spin Zone Podcast, at The Spin Zone on Twitter. And you worked at the Action Network for a couple years. I want to talk about that in a second. But first and foremost, the red carpet is out. Welcome back to the show, Jaffe.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be here again.
I feel bad for you sometimes because even when you have good bets, sometimes they go south. You had the Dodgers run line last night. And Javi Baez hits a two-run homer in the bottom of the eighth to tie it.
The last out in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah, I should say it was a doubleheader. So if Baez strikes out, which he often does, you're a winner there. It sucks. This extra inning stuff sucks.
I know. I hate it. But what are you going to do? I mean, it was all as well. My day didn't go so great yesterday. So,
are you fire in baseball or are you sort of timid? Because I've been sidelined for about a week because I've just been getting turned through the fucking ringer, man.
Yeah, baseball's been, I mean, at the beginning of the season is always a little bit iffy for me to be anyway because the data's not necessarily there. It just doesn't usually work out as great. And this year has been no different. It's always slow for me at the beginning of baseball season.
When did you start betting regularly? I don't mean a bet here, a bet there. When did you start firing on a day-to-day basis?
Probably, gosh, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
That's it? I feel like you've been wet a lot longer than that. It's only been 5 years?
Maybe long. I mean, I'm trying to think back to what I was doing back then. No, you know what? It's probably got to be like 2014 or so. 7 years, I'd say, when I'm doing it like more or less every day.
What caused that plunge? Why go from a sporadic better to a everyday better? How did it happen?
I needed the action, man.
At least you're honest.
I really did. I needed the action. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I got to root for something today. And rooting, I just don't, there's not enough in me to root for just a team just for the hell of it. That's just not possible for me. So I needed action on it.
I remember the first time we started sharing bets and started talking, and you were sending me these flyer bets. I call them flyers because there's a small chance of success. You're talking about, you know, a 30-point underdog winning on the money line. You love those big payouts. You bet a little to win a lot. And one of the first tickets you ever sent me, you had a ticket on the Howard money line. They were a 45-point underdog.
Yep.
And they won the game outright.
Yep. I love the beginning of college football season because they have these huge underdogs. And all you need is for a couple to be right. That's all you need. And it pays off. So, you know.
You only had a dollar, though, on the game.
I don't know that it was a dollar. It was a little bit more than a dollar. It was more than a dollar.
I'll take under $5 for the limit.
Yeah, no, it was definitely under five. It might have been like $3 or something. But what does it matter? Because I, you know, if I bet a dollar or $2 on all those games, I just need a couple to come through, and I've made money. And I don't do it. I'm not betting it to become rich off this bet. Like, obviously, that's not going to happen. But it makes for excitement. And that's really what it's all about. Betting is for excitement.
You're also nothing like Floyd Mayweather. When Mayweather wins a bet, he wins a long shot bet. He posts the ticket. And everybody recycles it and blasts it out. And it goes viral. But the thing about Mayweather, and a lot of people in Vegas told me this when I lived there, he doesn't tweet any of his losers out.
Well, of course he doesn't. Why on earth would he do that? I mean, that's just like Vegas Dave. He doesn't tweet any of his losers. I'm convinced he doesn't actually tweet any of his winners either, because I don't think he actually wins. But that's the whole point, is you can never lose if you just post your winners.
You have to travel to Vegas with one of these people for 7 days. You have to pick one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Vegas Dave, Julie DeCaro.
I mean, is Jack Kevorkian available?
No, he's not.
I probably would have to, I would maybe say, oh, this is the hardest question you've ever asked me. I lose
no matter what.
Just a no-win situation. I think I'd probably have to pick Julie, only because I feel like she would be like too, like wanting to stay in the hotel room the whole time, and I'd just go out. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know. That's a terrible question, Sam.
Did she write about you in her book?
She did. She didn't name me, but she wrote about me. She wrote about me as some chick with some podcast who talked about some old article of hers. And I mean, it was 100% me, because I know she knows about that podcast. And all I have to say is, loser.
She's one of the worst people I've ever encountered. And it's not something that came out of all of her Twitter wars. She's a keyboard warrior. We know that. I used to work with her. And she never did any preparation. Corey Kluber was in the Cy Young running. She called him Corey Klubber. Shit like that. Like, she never did her homework. But it was never, in her mind, it was never, I'm not qualified. It's, I'm a woman, so I'll never get the job. And I'm like, Julie, you do no studying for this stuff. Your job is to know names and players and teams. And you're spending all of your shift on Twitter fighting with people that don't even have avatars. And it's just, it's exhausting. It's exhausting how she thinks it's about gender or sex or whatever. And no, it's about credibility and doing your job the right way. And she never did.
That's my biggest complaint with her, is that she makes it harder for women in sports, because she makes it out to be that the reason why she isn't doing whatever is because she's a woman, not have anything to do with the fact that she's unqualified and doesn't know shit. And it just makes all women in sports look bad. Like, that's my biggest problem with her. I mean, if she didn't have anything to do with sports, like, she writes a book about, like, women in sport. I mean, she's not even qualified to do that. I don't know who she thinks she is. I can't stand her.
I don't know who she thinks she is either. But the problem that I had with her, and you know me, I don't like hypocrites.
I hate them.
Hypocrites are my least favorite people in the entire world, and there are many of them in this space.
Yes.
Julie used to write a blog called, I think it was The Hot Corner. She was critiquing players' asses on the Cubs.
Yep. And she has the nerve to say, I mean, I don't even know that she's ever answered for it, but my guess is she would say, yeah, that was however many years ago, I've changed. But that's not okay for anyone else in the world. Anyone else in the world, if they did something wrong 20 years ago, she's still harping on it. Like, the same doesn't go for her as it goes for other people. Designated hotter. That was what it was.
Oh, okay. Did you have that bookmarked in your photos?
No, I didn't. I just remember it. It's been brought up so many times because she's such a fucking hypocrite.
Oh, it's the worst.
It is the worst.
Why is throwing a dart so much fun in betting?
Because it really does give you something to root for when there's maybe nothing that you were going to root for. Like, if I don't have a read on a game or any data that supports any possible theory I could come up with, like, I still want to do something. Like, I need, especially if that game's like on TV, like, I need a reason to watch it. I love sports, but there's a lot of sports that I can't just watch for the sake of watching. Baseball happens to be one of those. I need a rooting interest. And throwing darts is a good way to do that. And I don't claim that it's a good way to bet, but it is a good way to enjoy yourself. And that's what betting is. It's about enjoying yourself. I mean, for some people, it's definitely about making a living. And there are those that do that, and they're few and far between. But for the rest of us, it's for entertainment. It's for fun.
I threw way more darts back in the day. Unfortunately, I can't get as crazy as I used to because now people are following everything I do, and I have to have some sort of a temperament and a strategy, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's important to educate the people that are new to the space and that are trying to learn how to win and all that. But I do miss those days, 24, 25, 26. I was probably throwing three or four times as many darts. And those are my favorite bets. When you're sitting at the bar, midnight Chicago time, four of the guys that never win are hammered. They're like, oh, I love Hawaii. Hawaii first half. All of a sudden, I have a missile on some 17-point dog playing at Hawaii. And I can't tell anybody that I have it, but it's one of those internal personal mission darts. You only win a couple of those, but those are so much fun to throw.
They are. And you are right about, I mean, like, I have people that actually follow me on Action Network on the app. I have people that legitimately follow me. So I don't, if I make a huge, stupid, big dog bet, I won't actually put it in there and tell anyone because I'm doing it and I know why I'm doing it. And it's, I don't want anyone to think I have any sort of legitimate reason for doing it. So you're right. You have to watch yourself, and you have to only really put the ones that you actually believe in and let people know that.
Why is this guy rooting for San Jose State? He's got a problem.
I know.
And the whole bar's got Hawaii. You know, it's either straight, it's parlayed, or it's part of a 10-team teaser.
Oh, God. 10-team teaser. I don't think I've ever done a 10-team teaser. That sounds crazy.
And it's always, well, I won 8. I won 9.
I don't know what I would do with myself if I won 9 out of a 10. I don't know what I would do.
I've been telling people to take the cash. A lot of the books now, they offer you the cash out. PointsBet does it. MGM does it. I think FanDuel and DraftKings are both starting to do it a little bit more. Where if you have 10 games and you tease 10, first of all, don't tease 10.
Yeah.
It's hard enough to hit 5, let alone 7, 8, 9, 10. But after you get through 8 or 9, my advice is always the math is against you. Take it and get out.
I would have to agree with that. I'm glad now that betting is legal here in Illinois, that I can do that with PointsBet. I mean, I don't know if BetRivers does it. It's good to know that PointsBet does that. I don't typically do, the only teasers I ever do are football, NFL for that matter. So I'll have to wait till next year to try that one out.
What's the worst thing about being able to bet live for you?
I have no self-control sometimes. There was a game the other night. I had taken the under, and in like the first inning, it was like under 8. And in the first inning, they got like 3 home runs. And I was like, oh man, okay. Well, I guess I'm going to have to go live. And the live was 12, over 12. And the game ended up only getting to 13. So I almost completely whiffed on that bet too. And I suppose I would have deserved it for live betting, which I don't recommend doing that if you're not willing to want to knock your head into a wall when you miss both bets.
So it sounds like you went under 8.5 and over 12.
Yes.
You Polish middled yourself almost.
Well, it worked though. This time it worked. And because of the juice on that, the juice was like 8.5 minus 120 and it was 13 minus 110. So I actually, in theory, I did make some money on that game.
Okay, so you came over the top, but you got lucky.
I definitely got lucky. Live betting is just so dangerous. For me, anyway.
Well, you're a damn wild card, Joffy.
Well, that's the problem. And I know I am. So keeping me away from, like, sometimes, like, I'll go over to my friend's house and I'll, like, I'm going to bring my computer just in case. She's like, just in case what? I'm like, wow, there's a game on and I might live bet. And she's like, oh, God. Because she knows, like, I'll get crazy silly and do stupid things and just start betting and betting and betting. Like I did for that game, that Auburn.
Oh, that's one of my favorite stories. For those that are new to Chicken Dinner, you have to tell the story. I think it's Purdue and Auburn. I don't know if it was the Peach Bowl, but you went down the rabbit hole, and then you Polished yourself at the end.
Oh, I Polished myself so bad in that game. It was like, I mean, I must have put in like 6 bets for that game. And I can't even remember if it was the under. No. It was the spread. I think, I don't know. It's such a bad memory because it was such a stupid thing to do. I think I'm just going to say I did it for content because I can't, saying I did it for anything other than that seems disingenuous.
I thought you were on Purdue and Auburn went up big.
No, you know what? You're right. I kept betting Purdue at the live spread on Purdue.
Quick Twitter search proves that you kept tweeting, who has 2 thumbs and just took Purdue plus 28.5? Who just took Purdue all the way up to 42.5 live? And then the following tweet is, who has 2 thumbs and just took Auburn minus 49.5?
Yeah, and I lost that. I lost that bet. Like, it was, that's why live betting and me just don't care.
63-14, the final. So you got hooked, too, on the middle.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, that was bad luck.
Well, I would argue it's other things as well. Yeah. I was told to ask you, she wanted me to ask you. She says there's no beef, but Kelly Stewart wants to know why you hate her.
You know what? Here's what I'll say with her. A long time ago, when I first got in to gambling Twitter, there was like I got in with the wrong crowd. I'll just say that.
I get it.
I got in with the wrong crowd and they didn't like her. So I was just sort of going along with the wrong crowd. As the years have gone by though, I actually don't hate her at all. She had me blocked for a while. She unblocked me. But I really don't hate her. I'd venture to say I even like her and appreciate her. So you can let her know I do actually like her. I think that she's valuable, especially for women in the gambling world.
She said this went back to like 2012 or something.
Well, I mean, that's when I think I first got in with like the bad crowd from gambling Twitter. I mean, some bad seeds in gambling Twitter.
Oh, and they couldn't wait to carve her up, especially when she first started and she was wearing the purple jersey and the tight shorts, and they couldn't wait for her to lose. I feel so bad for any female in the space that tries to attack this and join this business. There are just so many people that want to see them. I mean, you deal with it too. People want to see them fail, and it sucks.
They jump on any, if I make a bad bet, I happen to be one of these people. I talk way more about my bad bets than I do about my good bets. And in my mind, that's just because like bragging about me winning, like I feel like it's just not something I do. But I think it's sort of funny when I make fun of my bad bets. So that's what I talk about. And people just love, they don't as much anymore. But especially when I was working for Action, they would jump on anything I said or did that was in their minds stupid or whatever. I mean, they make you feel, they're a big reason why. Like I don't do really any video or anything like that, and it's because of them. They jump on, they're so critical of women that it makes me self-conscious to the point where I don't even want to put myself out there. So I mean, I 100% understand where she's coming from, where any women in sports in general, but especially gambling. There are people out there who definitely want to not allow women to succeed because they think they do it based on their looks and being a chick and whatever. And it makes our job harder. It really does.
Are you surprised Action Network sold A, right now, and B, for the amount of money they did? Almost $250 million.
I mean, Action, they were very good to me when I worked there. And they're still good to me. I still have a good relationship with them. I'd say I'm surprised. Rise, except that I mean, there's been a lot of big deals that have gone on lately. You know, all the with DraftKings and FanDuel and whoever else has been buying whoever else. Like I think that it's people are maybe consolidating the amount of companies that are in the betting industry to make these much larger ones. Good for them, though.
Yeah, no kidding. Which, I mean, we should have started our own company. We should have started thespinzone.com. We could have been millionaires by now.
I mean, I have some URLs that are just sitting out there for no good reason. So if you want to start something, betting conglomerate.
I have one final question. Let me give you $100 right now. Figuratively, of course. Don't hold me to that.
Right.
You have to bet a team to win the Super Bowl right now. You could take this any way you want. If it's me personally, I'm just putting it on the Chiefs because I think they're going to the AFC title game and I think they're going to be favored. In fact, I think that's going to be a profitable situation for the next couple of years. They don't even have to win for you to make money. If I give you $100 and say, all right, Joffy, put it on this team to win the Super Bowl, what are you doing with it?
I would take most of it and I would maybe put it on the Bills. I feel like they got so close. And it could just so happen. Then I would sprinkle a little bit on the Bears, just so I have a bigger rooting interest for the Bears. I mean, if I'm gonna live here,
so many people in Chicago just got so excited when you said that.
I mean, I'm, you know, I think the latest I saw was like +5,000 was their odds to win the Super Bowl. So I mean, I'd stand to make a lot of money. I mean, that's me putting in for my big dog, and for my rooting interest because I'm in Chicago. You know, maybe they don't screw it up this year. Who knows?
I don't even know that they're going to start Justin Fields until week 10.
I'm not saying Andy Dalton's a good quarterback, but I'm saying that there are worse. Yeah.
Did I just talk you out of the bet?
I don't know. If Justin Fields doesn't start, I mean, Andy Dalton's he's better than Trubisky, I think.
You just need Aaron Rodgers to get traded for real, and then all of a sudden this bet makes a lot more sense. And I'll tell you what, if you bet the Bears right now at 50-1 and he gets dealt, all of a sudden that price becomes lower and lower because Rodgers is out of the way.
You think he's going? You think he's out?
I don't know what he's going to do, and I don't think anybody knows what he's going to do. I mean, the guy divorced his family Which,
yeah,
I mean, he doesn't talk to his parents, his brother. He doesn't. He just called the GM pretty much an idiot. I don't know who he's loyal to, if anything. I'm not saying I don't understand it. I'm saying that's the reality. I don't think he has any loyalty to anybody in that front office in Green Bay. So I wouldn't be surprised by anything.
I mean, I don't know how much, you know, Shailene Woodley has influence over him. Because I thought maybe he'd want to go to the Rams or something. They could live in LA. That was the only thing that made sense to me, but I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how that is a good relationship that he has with Green Bay. Even if some of this stuff isn't true, there's still been enough that there's definitely something going on there. So
yeah, Fox Bet's got Broncos -150 of all the teams. They have the Packers out of
the
equation.
That's so weird.
I know. And Denver went from 70 to 15 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, and he's still in Green Bay.
I don't know. There's a little bit of time for moves to happen. It'll be a big deal. I mean, I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Okay. So I got you down for the Bills. You definitely like the Bills, and you kind of, sort of like the Bears.
Yeah.
Okay. Confident per usual. The
yes.
Great Lauren Jaffe at the Spin Zone. The Spin Zone podcast. We need a new episode.
I know. My producer's been – it's a production issue, but we're getting back to it. So
thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
That about does it for Chicken Dinner. Thanks to Lauren Jaffe for hopping on the show. Record is 120, 114, and 5, down 3-7, but we got two pending right now. James Madison -1, and James Madison to win the championship at +280. Those are from my man Heed These Takes, Mo Pearson out in Vegas. The man knows what he's doing. He chops these lines up real tight when it comes to college football, especially in the FCS. And when he says jump, I reply with how high. Cash up tickets, make some money. We will talk to y'all next week. The guest list coming up on the show, it's getting busy. And remember, we have the NFL schedule being released next week. We'll talk to Alex Simmons from Stadium next week, Dwayne Colucci, who's a bookmaker in Vegas, and then the following week, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Surprises along the way. We'll talk to you next time right here on Chicken Dinner.